Welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the Nutritious channel, the Fit and Fab channel, the whole network. Today, we're going to have a feast with my guest. You know, we're going to talk health, fitness, wellness, functional medicine, you name it. It's important. It's a topic that we have to keep talking and talking about, especially in these days where nutrition, food, health is really going south and, you know, some parts of the world worse than others. Now, my guest hails all the way from, you know, the old continent and, you know, England. How are you, Lee Brandon? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, my pleasure. And you are a fellow podcaster. So yes, folks, you know, I mean, I'll do it now. I'll do it later. Do check out his podcast and we'll talk about all that. Great content stuff, you know, that you would probably benefit from besides this episode here. So Lee, let's take us through your journey, because you've had your own, you know, life journey that got you into this world, and you're mixing the health, the fitness, the wellness, the whole thing, functional medicine. You also work with a particular institute. So let's talk about all that. And you know, if you don't mind, just let's clarify, because I mentioned functional medicine. You know, are you a doctor? Are you not a doctor? How does that work? I know in the UK it's different. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so in the UK, the only people that are doctors are medical doctors. You call them MDs. We don't call them MDs over here, but I'm bilingual. I speak English and American, so it's okay. So MDs and PhDs are the only people that are doctors. So I know in the US, you have doctor of osteopathy, you have doctor of chiropractic. That doesn't exist over here. So there are very few people that are labeled as doctors. So I'm not medically trained, so therefore I'm not a doctor per se. But I am trained in functional medicine, amongst many other things as well, as you've kind of alluded to. In terms of my own journey, I mean, it's a long one. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I've been around a few blocks over the years. But my start, I guess, in the industry was one night I was in a gym near where I lived, near where I worked, and I'd just done a workout. And I was really passionate about working out back in the 90s. Like a lot of guys in the 20s, they want to get massive and ripped. So I was, you know, I was in the gym doing bodybuilding style training, although even looking back, I was doing it in quite a smart way. Anyway, I was having dinner with these two guys and they were personal trainers. I'd never heard of a personal trainer before. So this was probably around 94, 95. And they both had first class sports science degrees from Loughborough University, which is the best sports science university in the UK. And we're talking, and one of the guys puts his knife and fork down and he says, how do you know all this stuff? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, we've both got first class sports science degrees from Loughborough University, and you're talking to us like you were in our class. Like, where did you get this knowledge from? And it kind of shocked me, because I kind of knew what I was doing, but I didn't realize I was at that kind of level. And I said, well, I'm the kind of person, if I'm going to do something, I do it properly. And I just do a lot of reading. And that's all it was. Back then it was magazines and textbooks. And they said to me, why don't you do what we do? And it was, for me, that was my light bulb moment. It was like, well, hang on a minute. I can get paid. I can be in a gym all day rather than stuck in some, you know, office somewhere, doing something I don't really want to do for someone I don't really like, but I'm doing it for the paycheck. So that was the start of my journey. And I initially trained with the American College of Sports Medicine, became a personal trainer. I started in 96, did that for the next 5 years. I lived in Australia for 1 year as well, where I was working as a trainer. And the interesting thing is, back to the mid 90s, when I was reading a lot of stuff and I was reading a lot of bodybuilding magazines, one of the magazines I used to read was called Muscle Media 2000. And there was a guy in it used to write for them called Paul Check. And I used to love his articles. Like, you know, back in the old days, you used to get a magazine once a month and it used to come through your door in the morning and it hit you. And I would literally be waiting for this thing to arrive because I just loved reading it. And there was other guys as well that really, I really kind of resonated with. Charles Poliquin was one. There's another guy called Charles Staley. Mike Mensah was another one. But But this guy, Paul Cech, was the guy that really stood out for me. It was just so different. And, you know, I'd learn from him. I'd try stuff in the gym and it was working. And as in my time as a personal trainer, you know, a lot of my clients did really well, but some of them didn't. And some of them would get injuries and I wouldn't have a clue what to do with them. So in the back of my mind, even though I was still constantly learning, I was still thinking I'm not really learning what I really need to know. There's something out there that I need to know. Well, in 2000, Paul Cech came to the UK and he started teaching his courses in the UK. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And by this time, I was teaching for the American College of Sports Medicine in the UK. I thought, that's really interesting. I'm going to look into this. So I looked into his courses and I looked at the price and I went, oh, okay. That was a challenge because they're not the cheapest courses in the world. So I thought, oh, I really want to do those courses. Anyway, I introduced another guy to the teachings of Paul Cech, and then I didn't see him for 6 months. It's another guy who taught for the American College of Sports Medicine. And when we met up, he said, oh, yeah, those Cech courses are great. I went and did one. And I was like, what do you mean you did one? And he said, yeah, I just stuck it on my credit card and did the course. He said, oh, you should do it. It's amazing. So I did my first course in 2001. And that was really the start of a journey of 5.5 years of studying with Paul Cech at the Cech Institute. And I learned so much and it was just what I was looking for. You know, I now became a specialist in treating people with lower back injuries. And I would get people coming to me with histories so long, and they'd been to see this specialist and that specialist, they had this surgery and they'd done this and they'd done that. And I was doing an assessment on them, giving them an exercise program, stretches, maybe some changes to their diet. And within weeks or even a few months, their back pain had completely gone. And they were back to normal. And I was thinking, wow, this stuff really works. So with the Cech Institute, I learned a lot about exercise, a lot about posture, a lot about core stability, a lot about nutrition, about lifestyle, and how all these things interact. So that led me up until 2007. And then, you know, you do all that training and you said, there's still things missing. So then I trained in sports massage therapy. I trained in strength and conditioning. And that was great. And then one of my friends who I used to work with, he was a sports massage therapist. I used to refer my clients to him before I studied sports massage therapy. And then I thought, right, let me get trained in that. I won't have to refer my clients to him to get sports massage. I'm about to do it myself. So as I'm learning to do it, he's learning to do something else called active release techniques. And he starts practicing on me and I'm thinking, oh my God, this stuff's amazing. This is so much better than sports massage. Even though I think sports massage is amazing. This is like, you know, what we'd say in the UK, this is different gravy, right? And so I finished my sports massage diploma. I'd spent how many thousands of pounds on that, worked really hard. It was a postgraduate diploma. So I only had 6 months to do what was really a 9-month diploma on top of, you know, a very busy client base at the time. And I graduated from sports massage college and I kept on referring my clients to my friend who had now studied active release techniques because it was so much better. And I thought, now I've got to learn active release techniques. So then I started learning that in about 2013. And I've also studied a number of energy medicine techniques as well, or systems. But it was 2007, 2008 that I studied functional medicine. So I graduated from what's called FDN, Functional Diagnostic Nutrition, in 2008. And I've been basically culminating all of those into one kind of one-stop shop holistic package for anyone that wants to overcome any kind of health challenge or optimize performance in any way. So that, in a very small nutshell, is my kind of academic and professional story. My personal story, I guess, goes back to when I was 13 and I got severe cystic acne. And I went to my doctor and he gave me creams and cleansers and antibiotics and none of it worked. In fact, it made it worse. And over the next 18 years, he didn't offer me anything different. So I just kept using it, hoping that it would work, or at least I thought if I stopped using this stuff, it would just get worse. So that went on for 18 years. And, you know, severe acne can be very debilitating, you know, mental, emotional level. It destroys your confidence, destroys your self-esteem. It's not exactly great for, you know, meeting, you know, females. It's not, you know, doesn't give you the best confidence for that. So again, it was interesting because when Paul Check first came to the UK in the year 2000, he did a lecture and he was talking about how what foods you eat affects your skin and how what foods you eat affects your hormones and how your hormones affect your skin. And he talks about food sensitivities. And I had all these light bulbs going off because in all the time I'd been going to see my doctor to help me with my acne, he was asked on a number of occasions, is it something that I'm eating that's causing my acne? And the doctor was like, no. Diet and acne, there's absolutely no link whatsoever. But anyway, Paul Check speaking, I'm thinking, hang on, there's all these light bulbs going off. So I went back home after this conference and I went to see this guy locally to me. He ran loads of tests and he sat me down and he said, look, you need to stop taking the antibiotics. And at first I thought, hang on, my acne is going to get a lot worse if I stop, right? Not that that was a correct assumption, but that was what I was thinking at the time. And he said, look, you've got a candida overgrowth, so a fungal infection. And he held up a piece of paper and he said, and you're intolerant to all these foods. And it was a long list of foods. So he said, look, these are the foods that you can eat. So we need to get rid of the fungus and we need to get the inflammation down from all these foods that you're sensitive to and see how you go. Well, I went home and I cleared my cupboards out immediately, went to the supermarket, restocked that evening. And 2 weeks later, my skin was clear after 18 years of suffering and heartache and everything else. And after being told acne's got nothing to do with your diet. So that was kind of, I guess, my first story, really, although I could go even further back, but we'd be here all day. But, you know, I'm very sporty. I've always been very sporty. Played a lot of soccer as a kid, cricket, which I know you're not that familiar with in the US, but that was probably my main sport. At the age of 33, I hadn't done any competitive sport for quite a while and I thought I want to get back. So I decided to go back to playing tennis. I played it quite a lot as a kid, but I had to choose at a certain age between cricket and tennis. So for the last 21 years, I've been playing tennis competitively. So I've come across a few little niggly injuries here and there. So I've had supraspinatus tendinosis, which is an injury in the shoulder. I've had a minor anterior cruciate ligament sprain. I say it's minor, I mean, it's painful, but it's nothing like a full kind of rupture of the ligament. And I had a complete herniation of my L4-5 disc in my lumbar spine, which took 22 months to rehabilitate.
Oh my God.
So, now, when I look back, every single one of those was a blessing, right? As a practitioner, I can now help people with those injuries, not just with the textbook knowledge or the classroom knowledge that I've learned over the years, but I've been there and lived it myself. And there's nothing like going through the experience, right? It's like you can't learn to be a surgeon from a textbook, right? You've got to actually, at some point, you've got to do surgery on someone. Or you know, you can't be a good airline pilot from reading a book. You've got to actually fly a plane, right? So I went through those injuries and it gave me a really good insight into what people are going through when they're coming to me with all these problems. Now, the other thing that was an issue as well for me that I didn't even realize, and this is linked to my acne for sure, was that for the first 30 years of my life, I was constipated. I didn't know because I had a bowel movement every day. Now, some people might say, well, what do you mean? Well, and again, I'm sorry if this is too much information for people, but this is important. Like your bowel movements are very important when it comes to your health. So I would have a bowel movement every day, but it would take 30 minutes to complete, right? And again, maybe too much information, but they weren't pleasant smelling, okay? You know, several times in London, buildings were evacuated after I went to the toilet. It was, you know, it was like that, right? So what was interesting, when I started to really study nutrition at a deep level, when I started to change my diet, I realized what a normal bowel movement was like. Now, interestingly, someone with constipation is far more likely to have acne because if you've got constipation, you're not clearing toxins out of the body, and toxins can play a role in the development of acne. Now, it can be a lot more complicated than that as well. But so, with my history of sporting injuries, gut issues, skin issues, that's the kind of people I like to work with now. And that's kind of where I focus my efforts. And those subjects are really what I speak about on my Radical Health Rebel podcast. Because I've been through the experience myself, I know what it's like. I know how horrible it seems. So it really lights me up to help people that are going through those same problems.
You've covered so much stuff. I don't even know where to start, man. But it's all good stuff. So I'm just gonna, kind of break it down a little bit because there's so much stuff that we can really take from this first piece of the discussion. One, just the element of your background. I think that is for our audiences, at least those that are, doesn't matter what world you're in, doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to be good at something, you want to take everything that complements it. And in your case, you were in that world of, help and physical training and stuff, but you did not just settle for the one certification or anything. You were always looking to get more and more and more, and which gives you more complete, knowledge base and the ability to affect better your clients. And so that's an important message. Just I wanted to isolate from your discussion because sometimes people, they just get a certification. Okay, I'm good. I'm a trainer, quite good, and that's about it. But there's so many variations, and you've covered quite a bit. And I'm gonna ask you a few questions about those specialties, just like how, because Emily said, about the active, what do you call it? Active, I
Oh,
totally
active release techniques.
active release. So if you can just, maybe expand on that a minute. But yeah, so that's an important message right now to our people, and audiences. The other thing that you've talked about is, how people injure themselves at all times by, working out. And that is pretty common. I think, especially the younger we are, the worse we get at it because we think we're invincible, we're tough, your body feels strong and you keep doing things maybe the wrong way. And yes, your body may not complain right away, but when it does, it's going to be a disaster. And so that's another thing that I wanted to address, which it is important to always have someone to guide you if you don't know, and or check, because you will hurt yourself. Even yourself, you said it, that as you play tennis, cricket, and all these things, you did get injuries. And those things can be, problematic over the years. I mean, at least it took a couple of years to just get one thing fixed, right? So it's pain is not something that's easy to handle, and yet we are almost exposed to pain all the time by the things we do. And when you're an active, person, there is a very high chance that you're going to do something that's going to hurt you. And back pain, you mentioned back pain. That's like the central of our body, and most of us, somehow we put a lot of pressure in there, a lot of tension, and we do make the wrong moves. Listen, I've been in martial arts, I've trained all my life, and I can tell you I've hurt my back a few times. So I know my knees, my elbows, my shoulders, and it is not simple when you have these pains and you need to get, and now mind you that you're an expert at training all stuff, yet you still get, the injuries. Imagine someone who is not. So that's a pretty interesting thing. The other thing that I just wanted to go back is that just like the how amazing are the systems in terms of the knowledge base and stuff like the US versus, UK. And you've been here, you've gone around the world, but yet it's a whole different way of approaching education and training concepts and so on and so forth. So, but which because we are a worldwide show, there are so many variations of how you can get your information and how you get it. There's not one, it's not a cookie cutter concept here in particular in the world. So we have different, modalities, systems, formats. And yes, I mean, in the US, we think we have the best system, whatever. You go to UK, it's different. You go to Australia, it's different. You go to every part of the world, some of it is similar, but there's differences. And for our audiences, with today's technology, I think, it's a lot. I mean, look, you're in the UK and you're servicing people around the world with your work today and the things that you do. So it's an important piece that we need to know that now we're not limited geographically, so which means we can have access to more information, different information, That's a big, message also for people, because sometimes we get caught, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to, my services? And we kind of limit because we may have a trust issue. Like, we don't trust everybody else's medicine. We just trust ourselves, ours here. And that's a pretty common mistake, I think, that's available, because there's medicine all over the world. There's techniques all over the world. There's different things that we can approach that can make us different. So if we can't find a fix one way, there's got to be a solution somewhere else. And you've discovered it yourself. And we're going to talk deeper on the acne piece, because that's actually the second part of the show. And then the concept of how you've completed the holistic approach with nutrition and, the fitness piece, the training, all of it, that's an important thing too. It is a round concept where you cannot have one thing versus the other. You have to have it all. And health, I mean, again, this is a health wellness radio. And by the way, no shame in the game. Your description of the bowel movement stuff is completely appropriate here, just because you're right. I mean, we can't hide things that are real, and people need to know what that means to them. You said it, you had bowel movement, but what kind of bowel movement? Is it the right way, or is it the hard way? Is there a sign of something that is not right? And people will not know the difference. As you said, I'm going, so I'm good. Well, are you going or you're going? so that's the thing. So clarifying sometimes, it's a very important thing. And fortunately, we don't get this. Like you said, the concept, like you go to a doctor, the doctor's going to say one thing, right? Because that's what they know. You go somewhere else, you get something else. You got this, the Czech Institute, concept was a whole different system, right? And he taught you different things, which we did work for you. So now I want to touch on the acne. So acne is a known problem, for the youth, and definitely not, very, at least for the youth, for the younger folks, you think it's common, right? It goes through the face, puberty, and all the stuff. But when it lingers for the longest time, as you said, it is not easy, because you're right. It's your face. It's, it's out there. And if it's really extensive, it can be very not self-confidence will be something that you will lose easily. And believe me, I was just reading about it. Besides this show, I was just looking at something the other day, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of work. It's not as simple. And we think about a couple of things, but it gets very, advanced sometimes. And in your case, years and years, years went by, and that's the thing. You went for the regular course. Like, everything we have is bacteria. Let's get some antibiotics. Let's get some antibiotics, and medicine is the way of the Western medicine. Unfortunately, that's what we do. You got a problem, let's fix the problem. But nobody, again, and I repeat this in multiple shows, we need to start going to the source of the problem. And most of the time, we just treat the symptoms and what it is to try to kind of cover up, or at least, depress, whatever issue that there is. But it's not removing it from the roots. And that's the problem. What you found was that there is a whole different way to do this, from the source. And when you did that, things were different. And the source was your nutrition, the way you ate, the way you did certain things. And that's amazing. Now, you stated that there was a whole list of stuff you were having that was removed. Can you at least enumerate a couple of those? Because I guarantee you, some people will be like, oh, I have all this stuff all the time. Maybe they should, I don't know, is it butter? Is it oil? I don't know what it is. But, let's talk about, is it fast food? I don't know. If you can share with us some of that. And then if you can break down, to us a little bit about the items that you mentioned about the active release, stuff. It's just to define some of the stuff for to our audiences, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so in my own journey, well, my own experience of acne, because I had a fungal infection, fungus live off of sugars. So what you have to stop doing is eating foods that are sugary. Very simple. There are also certain foods like mushrooms, which are fungus, that you need to stop eating. And then there are other foods that are commonly, and again, people don't often know this, come with mold, like peanuts is probably the classic example. So things like peanut butter, you want to avoid if you've got a fungal infection. Now, not everyone with acne will have a fungal infection. And this is where understanding or investigating or finding out someone's causes of any problem is important, because what might cause acne in one person might cause heart disease in another, might cause obesity in another, might cause cancer in another person. So I went on a very kind of what might be considered low glycemic diet, so not eating anything that's very sugary. But I remember in that first test I ever did, it said I was intolerant to wheat, gluten, dairy, which are all things I would suggest anyone with acne cut out anyway, because they're often problematic. I remember black pepper, bell peppers, chili peppers, I was sensitive to. So anything pepper, I was sensitive to. Garden peas, and there was some other thing. They're the ones that stick out, but there was probably 30 plus foods I had to eliminate from my diet for at least a while. But what I found, I've done a lot of research into acne. Like I've spent far too long on PubMed reading all the research studies, which are in my book, Eliminating Adult Acne for Good. All the references are in there. And what I found from my research and by helping people in my practice, I found the research to be very good at helping people. So if it says, oh, this could potentially cause acne, if you take those foods out of the diet, generally their skin gets better. So for me, number one, if someone's got acne, number one would be high glycemic foods, whether you've got a fungal infection or not, because when you eat high glycemic foods, what that means is when you eat it, the amount of sugar in your bloodstream goes up very quickly. So what the body does to counteract that, because if you have too much sugar in the blood, it's very toxic. And I mean, that's what a diabetic coma is, when the blood sugar is too high and it can kill you. So the body has a great way of dealing with that. It secretes a hormone called insulin from the pancreas. So if you've got a lot of sugar, you're going to secrete a lot of insulin. Well, insulin also stimulates another hormone called insulin like growth factor 1. And in your skin cells, you've got what's called sebaceous glands, okay, in the hair follicles in your skin. So the IGF-1 stimulates the sebaceous gland to secrete more sebum. Now, the bacteria on your skin have two sources of food, the lipids or the fats from sebum, and the proteins or amino acids from your skin cells. Well, when insulin goes up, it also increases the amount of skin cell production. So you've got more sebum being produced and more skin cells. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to block the hair follicle. So now the bacteria that live on the skin, is party time, and they're going to proliferate. And when there's too much of them, it creates an immune response. What does an immune response do? It creates swelling and redness. That's what an acne lesion is, right? So that would be my number one thing. Reduce or eliminate, ideally eliminate, high glycemic foods. Number two is dairy. So what is dairy for? Why do we have dairy? It is to create rapid growth in baby mammals, right? So it has hormones in it to help babies grow, and it helps stimulate hormones in the body that stimulate growth. So what does that do? It increases sebum production from the sebaceous glands, and it increases skin cell production, right? So that you've got two things. Any foods that anyone is sensitive to should also be eliminated. And that is where, what I mean by sensitive, it means that your immune system mistakenly thinks that that food, for whatever reason, is an invader and therefore attacks it. So it creates inflammation in the body. Okay. The last thing that's key are other types of inflammatory foods. And the ones that are probably most commonly eaten are vegetable and seed oils. So that's like your canola, your rapeseed oil, soybean oil, safflower oil, things like that create a lot of inflammation in the body, because if you've got acne, you want to try and reduce the amount of inflammation, not increase it. So high glycemic foods, dairy, foods that your body's sensitive to, and vegetable and seed oils are what I would say are the main recommendations for changing your diet if you want clear skin.
Well, hold on. I mean, Lee, you just told everybody to stop eating everything that's out there. Well, I'm just being facetious about it, but the fact is, that's what today's diet is about, right? Mm. Everybody's eating
right. Everything
out there is sweet. To dairy is part of life now. the sweet or glycemic, everything has sugars and sugars and more sugars. Even the drinks have sugars. I mean, all the beverages pretty much have some level of sugars other than water. And even water, sometimes you can get it with sugar if you get a vitamin water or something like those. But the fact is, it is very, it's the intake that we have today is just unbelievable high level of sugars. And the way you're breaking it down, I mean, it's scientifically, based, right? It's really, you use one thing, it's going to have something and the body's going to react to it. And therefore, you're going to have problematic stuff, whether it's your diabetes, whether it's your acne and stuff like that, and inflammation in the body. You also talked about the biggest piece, which is the oils. Now, today, fried food is a big thing, right? Everything, you go out there. And you mentioned all the oils, like the vegetable oils, the canola oils, the flower and sunflower seeds. Those are the oils that we have in common markets. That's what people cook with. That's what people, fry things with. And they're all inflammatory. And anyone that's watching, or at least there is an actual campaign going on right now, especially on social media. There's quite a bit of awareness that I'd say about nutrition. And I mean, we are on the nutrition channel, the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio. So this is for us is the standard. But there is a few, like there's a huge wave right now. I mean, there's some key people that are out there really just exposing all these products and things like that, and they're corroborated with quite a bit of, medical and specialists and naturopaths and dietitians. But the fact of the matter, it's real, folks. If you're watching and listening, this is what you need to have, in your life. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, I just put an AI reel. I do these little things about like top 10 foods that you cannot eat, and what you mentioned is already, it's on that list. And so all your processed food, all these things that you mentioned, sugary, stuff, the snacks, the packaged food with the preservatives, all that stuff is bad for you. And the body, as you said, is gonna take the stand of like, there's foreign stuff in my body, I need to fight it. So those soldiers come up there and start working, and now your body is that's where we're. It's funny, I had a specialist talk about autoimmune disease, and really what it is. I think, and he mentioned, like most of us have some sort of autoimmune disease because of our body reacting to things that are not appealing, which we're not supposed to have as a traditional diet. I mean, historically, these problems were not, relevant. If you look back in a century ago,
Absolutely.
these things are today's age because we have. I mean, you go to a supermarket now, everything is flavored, everything is sugar or salt. And or oily based, and that's all there is. There is no real nutrient stuff that you can find. I mean, there is, but you got to be selective. In your case, I mean, you had to eliminate a whole bunch of stuff, replace it by a whole bunch of stuff, which I want to ask you, like some of the things that should be, taken to prevent this. Now, you mentioned the book, and kind of you beat me to it. I mean, I see it on your shelf there. And really, that's what, you wrote the book to help people get through this dilemma of acne. And acne is, by the way, worldwide, everywhere, and it's happening. And you're right, it is a big thing. And this is the first time actually we're having literally someone to talk about it, on the show. But you don't hear quite a bit of discussions about it. It's like, it's just another problem that a skin problem, right? But it is deeper than just a skin problem. It can also be a mental health problem. It can be a lot of things, right? It can cause a lot of, depression and, anxiety on people and so on. So it has big effects, which I believe that you've addressed in your book, from the source, the remedies, and the impact and the remedies. And that's really, a great thing to know. What are the solutions for someone besides the food? To keep a healthier, gut, because you mentioned the gut, and I think that's where it's happening. I mean, we know that, today, the gut is where a lot of our immune system is based. And if your gut is not healthy, your hormones are not working and everything else gets, so, because remember you talked about the antibiotics, which destroys the gut, right? And all the stuff that we're thinking it's working for us is really working against us. So let's explain a little bit that, in terms of, your experience.
So in my book, chapters 3 to 9 are a process. They're a step-by-step process. So when I wrote the book because not everyone can afford to come and see someone like me. Like I was getting a lot of people contacting me saying, "Oh, I've got terrible skin. I really want you to help me." And I said, what job do you do?" "Oh, I'm a bellboy in a hotel." I'm like, "Okay, probably not going to be able to afford what I'm doing, you know. And I felt like I was letting people down because, you know, I've only got a certain number of hours in a day to help people, so I can't start discounting, right? And I thought, how do I help these people? And I thought, why don't I just put it all in a book, step by step, everything that I know that I've suggested people do, and they've done it, and it's helped them get rid of acne. What's the most important thing? Okay, let's get that done first. What's the next most important thing? So when I say important, what's most likely to get the job done? So I start with the most important things and I go all the way down to chapter 9, which is what you do with your skin, which it, for me, is the least important thing to do with acne, is to think about what doing stuff with your skin, like cleansing it and whatever else. So the first thing I get people to do is to actually work on their mindset. And the reason I get them to work on their mindset is because if your mind isn't in the right place, us as humans, we don't like change. As much as people might admit that they do, oftentimes they don't. And what I get people to do is to understand that, you know, this is real life that you're living in. And when you go on a journey, it's hardly ever a straightforward journey to the summit. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be peaks and troughs, right? Because I've seen people hit those obstacles and then go, oh, well, that's it. I can't do it. Or it doesn't work, right? They give up. They throw the towel in. So I thought, I need to put something in the book that bulletproofs someone's mindset so they can actually put into practice the things that are coming up next in the book, right? Because if they throw the towel in, it's not going to work. So I go through a number of steps in the mindset chapter to really get them to understand what they want to achieve and their why. Why do they want to achieve it? Because you can say, oh yeah, I want clear skin. That's not going to motivate you. Understanding why you want clear skin, understanding why or how your life is going to be better when you've got clear skin. How is it going to make a difference to you? When you understand your why, when you're going through a hard time, you just need to focus on your why. And that helps you re-motivate yourself. Another thing in that chapter as well, towards the end of that chapter, listen, I've been coaching people for 28 years. I've heard a lot of obstacles, let's call them. I was going to call them excuses, but obstacles. And so what I ask people to do is to write down any potential obstacle that people think they might come up against. And I actually list a lot of them that I've heard myself. And then if you can list the potential obstacle off straight away, even before you get to the obstacle, write down the solution to overcome it, even before you get there. Because I'll give you an example. One client once said to me, oh, I couldn't eat properly that day because we had a meeting at work and they supplied the food and it was just sandwiches. I thought, okay, that's an interesting mindset. So I said to them, so what could you have done differently? Nothing. I was called into a meeting. I said, okay, do you have like healthy places you can buy food near where you work? Yeah. Okay, could you have done that? Oh yeah, I guess. Could you have cooked your own food and taken it into work with you that day? Oh yeah, I could have done. Right? So if you knew that in advance, right, you know, then you can just smooth out those obstacles and then you can just keep going. And again, there's, you know, there's lots of examples in the book. So once people have got their mindset right, now the journey really starts. Chapter 4 is on diet. What and I call it the acne elimination diet, but it's actually several things all put together. And what I haven't mentioned yet is that I also teach people how to work out what foods are right for them as an individual. We're all different, right? If you're from, you know, if your parents or your ancestry are from Siberia, you're probably not going to do very well on a high plant-based diet because your ancestors wouldn't have had access to plants for most of the year. If your family's from, you know, India, you probably won't do that well on a high animal-based diet because that's not what your ancestors would have eaten. That's not how your body's evolved, right? So that's another aspect to it. The next chapter, I look at sleep, rest, and de-stressing because the more I look at acne, the more I realize whatever type of acne, and I don't really like it when people talk about types of acne, whichever type you've got, it's all hormone related to some degree or another, right? I've mentioned insulin and IGF-1, but testosterone can cause acne. We know that. Dehydrotestosterone can cause it. Estrogen dominance can cause it. Cortisol can cause it. And even when you're looking at the hormonal system, you can't look at one hormone on its own. It's a balance. You've got to look at the whole hormonal system. And what affects our hormones? Well, what you eat, what you drink, when you go to bed, the quality of your sleep, how much rest have you got, how stressed are you, what are your timings of going to bed and waking up, because your hormonal system is tied into sunrise and sundown. So that's the next important aspect for me. Next is balancing the gut microbiome. So that's an important aspect. And just to add on to, from what you were saying, you're absolutely right. You know, the microbes in our gut play a big role in the production of hormones, right? So that's one aspect. If you've got, let's call it bad microbes, to make keep it simple, they often release toxins. Now, why can toxins be an issue with acne? Well, a few reasons, actually. The first one being that your skin is the largest organ of detoxification in the human body. So if your other organs of detoxification are overloaded, your toxins might try and get out of the body through the skin. That can cause a skin issue. Secondly, if your liver is overloaded, what your liver is like a juggler, right? Your liver has to do so many different things at the same time. If your liver is overloaded and it's doing all it can to try and metabolize toxins, well, one of the roles of the liver is also to metabolize and help move out of the system is hormones. If it's overloaded trying to deal with the toxins, what tends to happen is it doesn't metabolize the hormones and it starts sending them back around the body. So now you get an excess of hormones, right? And again, that can lead to acne. The other thing with toxins, again, if you've got toxins in the body, it can cause an immune response. What does immune response cause? Inflammation. And acne is an inflammatory condition. So that's the gut microbiome. The next thing I get people to look at is to identify, and I teach people how to do this, to identify what toxins are they being exposed to in their environment. Right, because again, we understand now why toxins are so important. So looking at things like the water that you drink or bathe in or cook with, as an example, what personal care products are you using? All these kind of things. And I'm teaching people what better options would be. So in some instances, it might be, right, that's got to be eliminated, right? In some instances, it might be a case of, okay, so you need to swap this for something like this, right? So again, another example, when I was a teenager, I had a mouthful of mercury amalgam fillings, right? Mm-hmm. Highly toxic, right? Every time you chew, every time you have a hot drink, it's releasing mercury vapor into your body. So in the years after I changed my diet, that was another thing that I was doing to help reduce my toxic load. Once I removed those, then I started doing the next stage that I teach people, is how to get the toxins that are stored in your cells out of the body. So I had to go through a series of what we call heavy metal cleanses. And I teach people how to cleanse the gut, how to cleanse the liver, how to do skin cleanses. And that is the final, what I call the cherry on top of the cake. Right. Once you've cleaned the inside, the only bit left to clean, and it probably won't need much by this point, is actually what you do on the skin. So again, there are a series of cleanses that you can do on like a weekly or monthly basis to help keep the skin really clear as well. And I do give my advice on kind of daily stuff, but it can be very individual as well in terms of, you know, people's preferences, and what works for one person might not work for another person. So now I've told you all that, people don't really need to read the book.
Oh no. No, I think you've given us the highlights, and I mean, the book will be your guide. I mean, it will be like where you go for reference. This is what you do, this is how you do it, and so on and so forth. So thank you so much. Well, there's a few things you touch on right now. I mean, and they're all powerful because, and again, if anyone is interested in better health and wellness, these are the facts, and you need to, if you don't combine all these things together, you're not going to get the best optimum health and vitality that you're looking for, right? So one, you talked about the mindset, right? It all starts with the mindset. If you're not interested in anything, you're not going to find the will and the take the action that's necessary. You'll find every excuse, as you said, not to do it. You're right. The example you gave was very simple. You could have not eaten that hour and just wait until the end of the day and eat a healthier meal. So, and by the way, we're human, folks. I mean, we're not robots. We know that we all crave. We all have weakness, moments, and yeah, sometimes we cheat. But if you're really determined to have a better health and stuff, you got to do what it takes, and it's not easy. We know, especially if you get, at a certain point of health issues, it's a little hard to start like really revamping, and it's a lot of work. It's painful. And you just got to get through the first phase. Once you get to a certain point and you start seeing the results, you're gonna be like, oh, this is cool, this is great, I don't want to go back to that life. Trust me, I've been there myself. I hit a point where I had a lot of weight issues and stuff like that because I let myself go for just a few months, and it took 2 years to get back to what I needed to be. That's how far it takes, and that's with a lot of working out, a lot of diet, and a lot of watching, a lot of stuff. So it takes time to get into shape. So might as well get away from that, and if you can't prevent it up front. The other one you talked about is that to cleanse the body, right? And you talked about detoxification, how the body works. I mean, the liver is the hub, right, for detox. But you're right, there's other places, the skin, can clear things out. But here's the thing. One thing that we have today in society, for example, and everybody uses it, is alcohol. Everybody drinks. Now, that's talking about glycemic. There's sugar there. There's all stuff. It does take a toll on your liver. If you're not, the factory is not working, the body is not going to function well. And so everything else. You talked about all these things that affect the gut and the hormones, and different hormones actually regulate different things. They all can get messed up. That's a problem. So all these things are important. You talk about sleep. Now, most people, I just literally, there's a show that's going to release, tomorrow or even today, actually. It's about sleep, and the importance of sleep, how to do it, how many hours, when do you really sleep, what to do before sleep, and so it's a big deal. And we tend to, like, even when you hear all the motivation discussions, things like, there's all the success people, they sleep less. Maybe that may work, but is it healthy? That's two different things. I mean, sometimes we in the quest for success, we deprive ourselves from health, and then eventually success is not going to last with you if you actually your health is deprived, and from your body, right? So if your health goes away, your success may go away too, because you're not going to be able to sustain, right? So you got to balance things. It's all about that. So your book, is almost like, the go-to concept if you want to eliminate, specifically for acne. But really, those things can help not just with acne. I think they can help with everything else. Now, again, acne is just one element, one illness that can be very flamboyant in your face. And literally, I mean, it could be just bad. But all, I think when you clear the acne, you clear also everything else that can be bad in your health, and ultimately you'll feel a better life. And so that's important. So thank you for doing the work. And I love what you said about, I mean, seeking help for a specialist is always costly. But you put it together in a very, simple book where people can get the guidance and still have access to you if they needed more access to you, but at least to give them something to work with. And that's actually a great thing. I think you also do some of this stuff through your podcast, if I'm not mistaken, right? The radical, what is it called?
Yeah, I've actually got two podcasts.
Oh, there you go. Tell us more, baby. Tell us
Yeah,
more.
so I've got the Radical Health Rebel podcast. So that's been going a couple of years now. So on that, I talk about chronic health, sorry, chronic pain, gut health, and skin health. I'm just launching a subscriber only where I'm going to be talking about more controversial stuff, which is going to be quite juicy.
Ooh.
But I also have the Adult Acne podcast as well. So that's been going about 2.5, 3 months. So I only brought that out when the book came out in November. So that's not been going too long. So I do cover those things, and some of the episodes that I do on acne on the Radical Health Rebel, they get broken down into smaller chunks, and they'll come out on the Adult Acne podcast as well.
Oh,
But
that's pretty well. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to kind of add to what you were saying, because there's a few things that were popping into my mind as you were speaking. And when I'm talking to people with acne, I say to them, acne is an inside job, because most people are looking superficially at their skin, thinking it's a skin problem. It's an internal problem that shows itself on the skin, right? That's the first thing. The next thing is, and this is not necessarily acne, this is any condition, and this is my view, that health and disease cannot live in the same body. So if you get yourself healthy, you will not have disease, right? And that's why, I go through in the book all those things, and what you were saying is absolutely right. If I change the title of that book to almost anything and change the first two chapters, the rest of the chapters will probably wouldn't change at all. Because what that book is a get healthy book, right? The other thing I just want to add as well, because if someone's listening to this and they heard me talk about all the things that I go through in the book, they might be thinking, well, that's a lot of work. Well, that sounds like a lot. Do I really want to do all that? And what I say to people is, do one step at a time. Do step one first. When you've done step one, do step two. When you've done step two, do step three. And that's exactly how I've written the book, right? It's one step at a time. You don't have to do the whole thing, in one go. But what I would say is, a lot of people that have written to me after buying my book, they said, you know what? By the time I'd done the end of chapter four, my skin was fine. I didn't need to do the other chapters. And I write back to them and say, that's absolutely fantastic. If you want to optimize your health, you can still do the other chapters, but you don't have to. If you've just done the mindset and the diet and your skin's completely clear for the first time in 30 years, fantastic.
Well, it's amazing because you're right. It's a simple thing, one step at a time, and it's a rule for everything, right? It doesn't matter what path you want to go, whether it's a career path, whether it's life, relationship. And health is your ultimate thing, right? It's like that's health is wealth, right? One step at a time. That's the thing. People start thinking about the like if you look at a massive project, it starts with one strike, on the ground, right? A skyscraper is just one hit on the ground. You move the first soil and you build the foundation slowly but surely, and you build it up. If you start looking at the magnitude of the project, you get sometimes lost, right? One thing at a time, and a lot of people fail in even business or stuff because they start, getting scared of like, how it's got. Take it one day at a time, build slowly and sure. And your health is more relevant than anything else because nothing else matters without it, right? And you said it. I mean, it's like, yeah, if your skin is clear, that's beautiful, but why not, maybe continue the process and get everything else, to optimize? And you're right. If your healthy body is fully functional at optimum health, chances are illnesses are not going to be. It's like they're going to walk in. There's like that. This is not a host. We're not. We can't get into this one. This one is like completely shielded. And that's what it is. But it is a difficult task to do today. I mean, again, folks, this. It sounds easy, but it is hard because it's not so much about your will, for and the mindset and stuff. I think it's also the conditioning that we have in our society. Because you can try as much, finding the right food is a little hard. I mean, you look at every label now, it's like, you got bioengineering stuff, GMO, this, that, the other, hormonal, add-ons on all this stuff. I mean, to find the clean cut, I mean, you got to really live in a farm if you really want to have the best particular nutrition. So it's a little difficult and depends what part of the world you're in. It gets even worse. I mean, I have to say, you're saying this and you're in the UK. I mean, imagine what we have to deal with in the US. And the reason I'm saying that is your, for example, some products that we have here in the UK will have less ingredients and probably healthier. In Europe, it's the same thing. Now, and that's just comparing side by side. So imagine if that problem happens in the UK, what would it look like for us here? And that's why we have more obesity than most of the world and so on and so forth, because we are just more about business, profit, and so on and so forth. However, we can produce more things. Industries are not thinking about your health and my health as much as they are thinking about profits. Now, I get the business part of it, but maybe, we start talking about sustainability and how we can produce and get profitable while not hurting, harming the bodies, the humans, and so on and so forth. But someone can say, as you said, in that third podcast, that's going to be controversial. There's got to be some juicy discussions about maybe why certain things one leads to the other. If the food industry, the pharma industry, and the healthcare industry, for example, those are three ones that are big. If they all want to be healthy, and people healthy, maybe it's going to affect their business. I actually tend to think that's not the reality, because you can make it all work without it. But it's decades, if not, a century of building into this where we are today, and people are greedy in general. So that's the problem. So the other thing that you mentioned that's very powerful that most of people would not have thought about is the ancestry. So you talked about who the hell is right now watching and listening, what job? My ancestry coming from, most of us don't even know our ancestry, right? Now we can do a DNA test and figure out where's our roots. But you're right. If you're progression and evolution in terms of family comes from a particular area where your DNA was used to a certain thing, your body is gonna, it takes a few generations before it gets adapted, right? I mean, we adapt, but it takes time. But really understanding how that would affect you, it might, your course of action may be very hard to get results from, or easy to get results if you actually, going to the right path. If you challenge it, it's going to take long, and you're probably going to get disappointed. It's like, I'm not seeing the results. Well, because you're going about it the wrong way. But then who's going to go back and, source back to the actual DNA concepts of maybe I am not genetically, predisposed to actually having this diet kind of concept. So that's a big deal. So that's why, listen, you are literally, got a nice little comprehensive 360, concept of the health, the fitness, the wellness, the holistic approach, all these other things that make it work. And also, I the topics of your podcast are pretty cool too. They're touching all the stuff about the full wellness and health and acne as well. And by the way, eliminating adult acne, by default, that will take care of the younger versions of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Too. So it's not just for adults. It's really for everybody that has it. And I love what you said. It is not a skin. It is an interior. Because if you cleanse the inside, the outside is just a reflection. And that goes for a lot of things. The one thing you mentioned earlier, which was let's prescribe cream and cream and cream. And that's actually what we hear all the time. You look at the commercials, get this cream, get this cream, get this cream. And it's really just patching the top and probably causing more other, adverse reactions, if you want to call it that way. And that is not really, you got to treat it from where it stems from, the gut and or the hormonal pieces. So thank you so much for giving us that full comprehensive, outlook of what is acne, where the problems are, what to do, and definitely about the book. Now the book is available, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles.
Yeah, any major retailer, you'll be able to get hold of it online or, any kind of physical retail store. If they don't have it in stock, they can order it for you.
All right. And how can people reach out to you if they want to work with you directly?
Yeah, so probably the best place, if it's someone with acne, then my website is eliminateadultacne.com. And there's some free material on there as well. You can download the first two chapters of my book, which I go into a lot of detail in terms of the science as to what causes acne, but I also break down all of the commonly prescribed medications and topical creams and lotions and what their potential side effects are, which is quite grim reading, but it's worth knowing that information because your medical doctor probably won't tell you what they are. They just say, well, take this cream or take this pill. So there's that. There's details of my adult acne podcast you can find on there. There's details to all my social media accounts as well. I have another website, and this is for my all my other work that I do, and that's bodycheck.co.uk, and that's spelled bodycheck.co.uk. And again, you can find all my social media on there. You can find my podcast on there, my blog, and everything else.
And you do have a skinwebinar.com. Is that for your
so
webinars?
That's been replaced by adult acne. Eliminateadultacne.com.
All right, so that's the new one. Thank you for sharing that, because I was going to place that one into your description. So I'll go for the real one. But it's always good to ask, and of course podcast is available all over, wherever podcasts are. All right. Well, listen, I think we're just about the top of the hour here. Lee, thank you so much for so much information and really great stuff and a great story. And I just wanted to highlight something that you said that is so strong and powerful. When you said that you cannot pilot a plane from a book or do surgery from a book, you've experienced some of these things yourself, because a lot of people will say, like, what do you have? What do you know? What makes you the expert? It's one thing to know that your credentials, but one thing to know that you were an actual customer of your own, work, it's a very different, angle where you can speak from experience, and it makes the legitimacy of your information more solid. So thank you for bringing that up, because a lot of people sometimes will question, the integrity of the information or the knowledge. But when you have it, like, I have been there, I've experienced it firsthand, and I know what it takes. And I look at me, I mean, you look great. So something must have worked well for you, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually an important, piece for our audiences. Now, just before we close today's show, anything you want to leave our audiences with?
Yeah, I think this is something that I tell a lot of acne sufferers, but it's probably relevant to anyone suffering from any condition. So what a lot of people with acne tend to do is they look for the magic bullet. They look for the pill, the topical cream, like I've said before. There's two major issues with that. One is those things normally come with side effects, right? Now, when I coach someone, the side effects are things like more energy, they lose weight, they sleep better, they get more confident, right? But when you're using toxic products, you generally don't get those kind of side effects. But probably the most important thing that I want to leave people with, if you treat the symptoms rather than the cause, the symptoms are like your engine warning light on your car dashboard. It's telling you there's something wrong with the engine. So what do you need to do in that situation? You need to take your car to a car mechanic who's going to fix the engine. Then next time you turn it on, there's no light on the dashboard, right? Because you know the engine's been fixed. But what most people do is they get a piece of black tape and they tape over the light on their dashboard and they think that everything's fine, right? That's what's, if you're taking a pharmaceutical or cream to get rid of the acne, that's in this analogy, that's what you're doing. You're covering the light over, right? But what's going to happen in that analogy? You keep driving. The engine's going to completely blow at some point. Now, how does that relate to acne? Well, if you ignore the root cause and you just try and treat the symptoms, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, if you haven't treated those root causes, the problem you're going to get is potentially life-threatening. It could be diabetes, it could be dementia, Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, right? Acne is a blessing. Any symptom is a blessing. It's telling you something's not right, right? If you step on a nail, that's a blessing, because the pain signal is telling you not to push further down because you're going to cause more damage, right? So for me, it's really important that with acne or any condition, what you need to do is to find out what the root cause is, because it's your body trying to tell you something. And if you ignore the root cause, you're asking for trouble further down the line.
Powerful, man. Thank you so much. I mean, that sums it up. I mean, really, folks, that's all there is. We got to take care of business. You get a sign. Know the signs and do the work to get better and prevent worst case scenario in the future. So thank you so much for really a powerful message, for a great show and discussion, and a lot of great insights. Folks, definitely check out the book. It's available. We'll have the links as well. So just, and reach out to Lee if you need any additional help. I'm sure you can work with people around the world. So why not? And keep up the great work, man. Thank you so much for being with us. And I'll track your podcast. I'll track the shows, and we'll connect as well. That being said, folks, this is the end of today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you've learned some stuff. Share the wealth with others, because there's a lot of wealth here, in this discussion. So let's just make sure that we get that, information spread around the world. Other than that, I'm Eric and Ainge. We'll be talking soon in the daily show, new topic. Bye for now.